You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is finally over. The Kapler wait has ended. It was announced yesterday. Jim Salisbury, the first to report it, that Gabe Kapler being dismissed as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies after two seasons. Gabe Kapler will no longer be the Phillies manager moving into the future. We will dive into it all. This is Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It's October the 11th, Friday, as we head into a weekend with playoff baseball set. The ALDS and NL, or ALCS and NLCS are set. The ALCS, the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees will battle in a clash of titans, and then the Washington Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League as the Dodgers upset by the Nationals. That is certainly not music to Phillies fans' ears, but that is, at least certainly in this city, the number two story in baseball at the moment is the Phillies yesterday announced that Gabe Kapler would not return as manager of the season. We'll dive into it all. Statements from the team, from Kapler, what it means, potential replacements. Let's just start with the decision itself and how it played out. First and foremost, as you've heard me say many times if you listen to the show, that I had no problem with the Phillies deciding to move on from Gabe Kapler. I have made it very clear that I don't think Gabe Kapler was the biggest problem. I think it goes higher up than him. But that, you know, Gabe didn't, for me, do enough to keep his job in terms of the way he handled the clubhouse, the way he handled the media, all that type of stuff. Ultimately, I think it's just worn thin and the time has come. So I'm fine with the move, but ultimately I do think that Kapler is really taking the blow here for the people above him, who are ultimately the people who truly failed and the people who ultimately won't have to pay the price. Granted, you know, you would think that one more year without the playoffs probably would cause John Middleton to move on from Andy McPhail, Matt Klentak, and of course this coaching search, a new manager will be brought in, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, whether John Middleton said that Matt Klentak will be leading the search, but I think, you know, most people assume that it will end up being a John Middleton decision. Certainly the final say will be John Middleton's, as it's going to be a really interesting dynamic with this team, adding into what's a massively important offseason, which obviously we'll continue to talk about. But the Gabe decision itself, look, I understand the decision to fire Gabe Kapler. Again, I don't fault the decision. I fault the decision to keep people above him. But I do think that the way it played out was not great. You know, like the idea that Kapler was essentially sitting in the wind and kind of twisting and waiting for 11 days, you know, was in the office at times, as was reported. And it just started to feel after a certain amount of time with all the rumors and the you know, uncertainty that ultimately it started to feel like a little bit, you know, you start to feel a little sympathetic for Gabe, you know, as Gabe is going through this. He's a human being. He's, you know, obviously wants to be the manager of the Phillies. And this very public discussion about his job is taking place and his job is on the line, yet he's, you know, kind of just waiting. And I think that while, again, we talked a lot on the last show about the two sides of the Middleton debate, the idea of meticulous and thorough, is that good or were indecisive and that's bad. And regardless of which way that you know, kind of shifts more towards, I think there's no question that the way it played out from a perception standpoint didn't look great. And again, I think it's made Gabe a sympathetic figure. I can tell you that yesterday on WIP, the calls after the firing of Kapler were very sympathetic towards Gabe. They were very pro Gabe, which is not what you would have expected, you know, when you hear, you know, all that you hear about a guy who was essentially reviled in this city for such a long period of time. The way this played out is really kind of has kind of changed the narrative a little bit. And I think that as the season turned, more people started to blame Klentak more than Kapler. And as that happened, and then as Kapler kind of twists in the wind, it started to make Gabe a little more sympathetic. And I think it's really interesting, because you would think that when Gabe was ultimately fired, it was something that this city would have been, you know, waiting for and hoping for so long, seemingly, that, I was kind of surprised at the reaction. I was surprised that it wasn't necessarily as clearly a positive move as, you know, you would have expected it to be. So from that perspective, it's interesting. And I think it just puts more pressure on an organization that is already under a lot of pressure to make the right decisions, to have a big offseason, to find a way to kind of right the ship when, again, we've had back-to-back seasons of disappointment. 80 and 82, and then 81 and 81 is just not good enough for this Phillies team. And as a result, there's going to be a lot of expectations heading into this next season. And whoever comes in as new manager will have a lot of expectations on their shoulders. And I think the way this played out is just kind of added to the fan base's questioning of the organization and the way they go about their business, because all the recent evidence has said that they are not doing a good job and that there's really no reason to trust that the power structure of this organization knows what they're doing. And with that in mind, through that prism, it's hard to look at the 11-day stretch to decide to fire Gabe Kapler after all that, it's hard to look at it any other way but indecisive and a little bit dysfunctional. And you hope that's not the case, obviously. But ultimately, I think the way it played out, I don't have a huge problem with the decision to fire Gabe Kapler. I think he's being scapegoated to a certain extent. But again, I don't know if he ever would have worked in this city the way he goes about his business. He's just not a baseball guy, not a Philly guy, even though it's funny, he played in the league forever, and he certainly knows the game. But I think in the end, it just wasn't the right fit in this city. Maybe he learns from this and goes somewhere else and manages. I know he's already being considered a candidate for the Giants opening. As Farhan Zahidi, the head of that team, used to work at the Dodgers, knew Kapler there. But regardless, I just don't think Gabe would work here, so I'm okay with the firing. It's just the way it all played out. The fact that Klentak and McPhail are back, and then on top of that, the way it played out and the way, again, Kapler kind of twisted in the wind, it showed an indecisiveness, I think is just wasn't great, to put it bluntly. It wasn't great. Statements from the team as the Phillies ultimately announced the dismissal themselves. And had statements, John Middleton, with this statement to the fan base. Several years ago, I promised our loyal fans that I would do everything in my power to bring a world championship team to our city. I will never waver from that commitment. During the second half of the season and continuing into this week, I've evaluated our organization extensively, a process that included talking to many people both internally and around the league. Reassuring to me was the endorsement that people outside the Phillies gave to the progress we have made recently, both organizationally and on the field. That's an interesting line, because I don't know where he's hearing that. I don't know who he's hearing it from, but I don't know what progress they're seeing. I think, look, the Phillies won one more game this year than they did last year. That's certainly not on the field progress. I think we could say that pretty clearly, right? Or at least certainly not massive progress. And then organizationally, the farm system's gone backwards. They're a top bottom 10 farm system. They were higher before. Prospects haven't panned out. They haven't developed well. So I don't know where he's getting that idea, who's telling him that, whether there's true good motivation for them to tell him that. But man, that worries me that he feels that they are making that progress. That's nerve-wracking. Middleton continues to go on. He says, "Nevertheless, with the knowledge that I've gained from my evaluation combined with my personal reflection on the 2019 season, I've decided that some changes are necessary to achieve our ultimate objective. Consequently, we will replace our manager. I am indebted to Gabe for the steadfast effort, energy, and enthusiasm that he brought to our club, and we are unquestionably a better team and organization as a result of his contributions. With Matt leading our search for the next general manager, or excuse me, for the next manager, I am confident they will find the right person to lead us. That's what I referenced before, that Middleton said Matt Klentak will be leading the search. That is something that, man, I find it hard to believe that Matt Klentak is making this decision after Matt Klentak just lobbied for Gabe Kapler to stay, his handpicked guy. Then you're going to fire his guy and say, all right, go pick somebody else? I find that hard to believe. I think, in reality, I think this is more of a John Middleton decision, and I think that he'll want Klentak to be on board. But I think, ultimately, John Middleton has the final say in what goes here, and I don't necessarily buy that Klentak is... Maybe Klentak is organizing the information and scheduling interviews and stuff, but I just don't see it. And again, that line that I mentioned about Middleton talking to people outside the organization and being reassured that the organization is making progress both on the field and organizationally, that is worrisome. Again, because they have not, certainly not progress that we can all feel good about, right? I mean, does anyone feel great about the progress they've made from last year, this year, and over the 4 years? No, of course not. They won 81 games this year. They're a 500 club. And again, organizationally is the biggest problem. There's no talent throughout the organization. They don't have guys that they can count on to bring up and be quality players for this team outside of a couple of guys. So that is legit worrisome to me. And I hope that Middleton is putting on a public face, but that maybe he doesn't necessarily truly believe it. But that's a worrisome statement. And I also wonder who is saying that to him. Matt Klentak also offered a statement. Klentak said, on behalf of everyone in our baseball operations department, I wanted to thank Cap for his tireless commitment to the Phillies over the last 2 years. When we hired Cap, it was our goal to develop a positive, forward-thinking, and collaborative culture throughout the organization that would allow us to compete with the best teams in the league year in and year out. While we have fallen short in the win column the last 2 years, I can confidently say that Cap's efforts have established a strong and sustainable foundation for this organization moving forward. In the coming weeks, John, Andy, and I will work diligently with others in our baseball operations department to find the right individual to build upon the existing foundation and bring a championship home to Philadelphia. Sure, I mean, look, the stuff about Kapler that they say is nice and dandy, but, you know, if they believed in him that much, if they loved him that much, he'd be back. So, very vanilla statement, not much to say there. Kapler also puts out a statement. I'm grateful to John, the Buck family, Andy, Matt, and the entire Phillies organization for giving me the opportunity to lead this team for the last 2 years. I have tremendous respect for this organization, this franchise, and this city, Kapler goes on to say. We came into 2019 with very high hopes. We fell short of those, and that responsibility lies with me. The next Phillies manager will inherit a team of talented, dedicated, and committed players. There's been nothing more fulfilling in my professional career than the opportunity to work with the players on this team. I will forever value the relationships I developed with them. As I move on, I know this organization is a great spot with a lot of success. Going forward, my hope is that I help to contribute to developing a culture of the organization that flourishes in the years to come. And he wishes the franchise best wishes and knows that they will find a better leader and person. He said he's a better leader in person from having had this experience, this opportunity. I think classy from Gabe. You know, you expect nothing less. He has shown nothing but class his entire time here, in many cases dealing with things that maybe aren't so classy. And he has done a really admirable job of taking punches and kind of just going about his business. And I respect Gabe for that. I'll miss him for that. Again, obviously it angered us sometimes during press conferences when he wasn't real with us and all that, but I think ultimately on the whole, a good dude who was a stand-up guy. And I thought that statement said so. I think Middleton and Klentak statements, look, press conference today at 1:00 at the stadium, and it's going to be really interesting. Those statements are pre-prepared, whatever. It'll be interesting to see how they answer questions. When they're asked about why they made this decision, how the managerial search will go, the fact that Klentak didn't necessarily agree with the decision, it'll be asked about that. They'll be asked, why is Matt Klentak coming back when the struggle, he had issues too. He'll be asked about why it took so long to make this decision. What was he doing? What was he thinking? There's a lot of fascinating stuff that's going to come out of this 1 p.m., presser, and I think the questions that are asked and also the way they are answered are really going to be important to decipher moving forward here, as they will be a very important part of this, obviously. The direction of this organization, as these three guys, for better or worse, are the people in charge and have to answer for these decisions. And I think it's going to be really interesting. And, you know, again, those statements, they're nice and they are pre-prepared, but they don't really tell us anything. And ultimately, I think seeing them answer questions will be really interesting. And again, I really do think that it's important that someone ask, you know, the decision to bring back Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak, because as I said before, and it's crazy, because Gabe Kapler seemed like public enemy number one in this city. Everyone hated him. And yet some point over this past season, over the last month and a half, 2 months, it turned. And the majority of Phillies fans blame Matt Klentak more than Gabe Kapler. That happened. And I feel like it still happened. And thus, with Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail, who might have a lower approval rating than any of them, after the if we don't comment, and just generally being, you know, not seen and useless, essentially, in the fan base's eyes, and only coming out to say annoying things, they're all going to be up there, and they're going to be held accountable by the reporters who are essentially speaking for the fan base and asking questions for the fan base. I think it's going to be really interesting to hear how those questions are answered. Why is Matt Klentak back? You know, why is Gabe Kapler being blamed for, you know, a bad bullpen, a bad starting rotation, all this type of stuff? I think those are questions that have to be asked, and it's going to be really interesting to see how John Middleton answers them and how Klentak and McPhail respond to them. So 1 o'clock, that's going to be a must-listen type of thing. I know it'll be aired live on WIP if you want to hear it there. So it is going to be a really important press conference, one of the more hyped press conference, I would say, in Philly sports in a long time, in terms of interest and intrigue. And there are a lot of questions that need to be asked. So we'll obviously talk about that on Monday when we come back next week and you know, dive into this whole situation more. But for now, I think, you know, you feel bad for Gabe, but I also understand the decision to move on. And I think it's going to be really interesting. I wish they were changing the front office structure. That's not happening. But for now, it's going to have to start with the manager. So speaking of that, replacements. And the Phillies have, it seems, leaked out. There have been multiple reports saying that the Phillies are interested in someone with managerial experience, someone who's been there before, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. Coming from Gabe Kapler, someone who clearly, it appears, had a loose kind of clubhouse, a lack of accountability at times, someone who's more their friend maybe than the adult in the room. I think having an adult in the room, someone who has a little clout, has a little cachet in that clubhouse, I think it's going to matter, and I think it'll make a difference, because this group of guys isn't an old group of guys. It's a younger group of guys, and it's a younger group of guys with a lot of players who've never been in leadership positions before like they are. I mean, Bryce Harper was in Washington his whole career, was never the leader there, never the guy who everyone looked to. He is here. And I think having a manager who can take some of that off and can lead as well and can kind of, again, have that command and that presence, I think will help this team. And I think that report makes sense. Sometimes you hear reports and you wonder whether they're true or not. I think this one's true. I think the Phillies are looking for someone with experience. So with that in mind, a few names have been linked to them already and obviously popped to mind. Clearly the big ones, Buck Showalter's name has just been linked to the Phillies this whole process. Before Kapler was fired, like the whole dime, it's just been Buck Showalter, Buck Showalter, Buck Showalter. So I think that's a really interesting name, as Showalter, of course, has experience with both Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail from Baltimore. And there's a connection there. Another name, Dusty Baker, connected to McPhail, knows McPhail. Obviously an old-time, old-school manager, has been around. Interesting name as well. I think that's a name you'll hear in the running. And then Mike Socha, who is my last choice by far. I think Socha would be a disaster. He's not won anything since 2002. He is very anti-analytics, very gruff, and doesn't get along with front office as well. Not a fan of Socha, but a name you'll hear has been connected. And then the two big ones, which looks like have the most opportunities other places as well, are Joe Girardi and Joe Madden. Madden has been linked heavily to the Anaheim Angels, but report yesterday when all this came out saying that the Phillies job did pique his interest. And so still in the running there. And then Girardi has been linked to the team as well. And I think Girardi of all these guys would be my top choice. I think he's the nicest blend of new school and old school, but someone who he's won a World Series manager. He commands respect in that locker room, no-nonsense type of guy. I think Girardi, for me, my top choice. Then Madden after that, though I think people – it's funny because I know a lot of people would love Joe Madden, but he's very similar to Gabe Kapler, at least in his outlook on baseball, but more of a everyman kind of guy outside and otherwise. So I think he'd relate better to the city. And then I like Buck Showalter, to be honest. I don't. He's not my top choice, obviously, as I'm saying, but I think you could do worse than Buck. Buck, if I had to bet right now who will be the next manager of the Phillies, Buck Showalter would absolutely be my bet. There's so many connections. He's already been connected to the job in the media multiple times. And it seems like he's very interested in getting back into baseball, and he is the exact type of guy they're looking for, someone with experience, someone who can walk in that clubhouse and set some accountability, kind of command it, be the adult in the room. Buck makes a lot of sense. And then you think about the connections to McPhail and Klentak, someone they could work with, have worked with before. I think Buck Showalter is the clear lead candidate in my mind for the position. I think he makes the most sense. I think Dusty Baker makes a lot of sense too because of the connections and that old school type of guy who, I think that would also be an unsurprising hire. But ultimately, I think they're going to go for someone who has experience. I do buy that report. In fact, I believe it wholeheartedly. It just makes too much sense, and I think it's the right move. Again, coming off Kapler, coming off that kind of more laid-back type of manager. Look, we've seen this work before. I mean, going from Terry Francona to Larry Boa, and then from Boa to Charlie, going from those kind of one extreme to the other has worked. The Buck Showalter with the Yankees, they go to Joe Torre, go from fiery Buck to chill Torre, and it works. That type of thing works. Sometimes you just need a completely different type of voice, a completely different type of way of going about things. And again, I do think Buck commands a respect and has some cachet that Gabe just couldn't possibly have. And I think for this group of guys, this younger group of guys, I think it matters. So I think you'll see someone like that end up getting the job. And again, I think Buck makes so much sense. And as we continue to dive into this, obviously we'll talk about the managerial search next week. And also, look, there's still a ton to do for this team. They have to hire a scouting director. They have to hire a number of position like coaches and strength staff. And they also, of course, have to build a bullpen and build a starting rotation and hopefully sign Gerrit Cole. An interesting note from Todd Zelecki that we'll dive more into next week. But on WIP yesterday, he said, I was told late in the season by somebody that the Phillies plan to have another aggressive offseason, that they plan to spend money. And that is great to hear because guess what? They need to. Gerrit Cole just dominated the Rays two games in the ALDS. One of the best pitchers in baseball, a free agent, a Boris client. I think that's someone they have to go all in for. It's everything they need. Him and Nola at the top of the rotation automatically changes the landscape for you. And look, they're going to have to spend to compete, and this team wants to compete. That's what they're doing. They're making it very clear. So it's good to hear that from Todd Zelecki, who's plugged in, knows what he's talking about, but obviously we need to see it happen as well. Either way, we'll continue to dive into that as the offseason goes on here, and of course we will, more importantly, talk about this managerial search and react to what happens today at 1. Definitely tune in for that. It'll be really interesting to see how these three guys, Middleton, Klentak, and McPhail, handle these questions, how they respond, what they have to say. And then after that, how we all dive into the managerial search and see what they end up doing. So next week, we will continue this discussion. We'll see what they have to say today. We'll dive into it. And, of course, we will look at the managerial search and then start to look into the offseason. Because, again, there's so much to do, so much going on, a massive offseason for this Phillies team coming up. So until next week, have a wonderful weekend. And thank you for listening to Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.